Good afternoon and welcome to Independent RX Forum. I'm your host, John Beckner, Senior Director of Strategic Initiatives for NCPA. Community pharmacists are well known for their creativity and innovation, and in today's ultra-competitive healthcare environment, that's really become a necessity in order to remain viable. I'm really excited today to be joined by two of the more creative and innovative pharmacists in practice today, Ben McNabb from Love Oak Pharmacy in Eastland, Texas, and Mayank Parikh, the co-founder of Super Health Pharmacy in Staten Island, New York. So it's great to be with you, and I'm really excited to delve into what you have going on in your practice. Ben, I'm going to start with you. And we often hear the expression healthcare destination, and your pharmacy has really become a true healthcare destination. Could you share with our listeners exactly what you've done to accomplish that?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. And it sounds like a lot of fun to share that today. So, when I think about pharmacy, I think, and I think about my business, I think about ways that I can use every aspect of my business to improve someone's health. And so, you know, we adopted the old pharmacy soda fountain as an example. And so our soda fountain in Delhi has been shifted into a health conscious menu. And just recently, we've also gotten into the fitness center business. And so just giving you a little background about that, you know, as a pharmacist, when it comes to metabolic diseases, it's always been one of my frustrations that I have felt a little bit limited in my ability to provide the full spectrum of treatment options. We obviously have prescription drugs, which are incredible. We have the ability to counsel about behavior and lifestyle changes and nutrition. But I've always felt it would be an interesting concept to have a destination that includes the pharmacy and also a fitness facility. And so just recently, as of April 2023, about 3 months ago, we launched. And I'm excited to say that as of today, we have 427 new health club members. It's going very well. When it comes to the health club, we really thought that, beyond it, you know, attracting that health conscious consumer and growing our business in that way, we felt that, there was also interesting, areas that it becomes a vertical for us and that we can keep our costs and overhead low because we operate the health club using our existing pharmacy staff for customer service and cleaning, et cetera, since the facility is directly connected to our pharmacy. And then also some other interesting verticals that we're looking into is this whole membership-based pharmacy pricing model that you see developing in the industry, whether it's the Blueberry Pharmacies or the Mark Cuban cost-plus drug type pharmacies in the world. Amazon RX Pass as an example, you know, we really thought, you know, this would be a way for us to have a membership-based pricing model that provides an additional set of values at a brick-and-mortar level. And so we have that as kind of an anchor for our membership. And so we have a few different tiers of membership that also include a prescription discount model that's built into a membership-based model. And so that's maybe just a brief overview, John. I'm happy to discuss other questions.
Yeah, I mean, that's really impressive, Ben. And one thing I wanted to get into a little bit, I know you're active in the diabetes space, having worked with you with the diabetes, National Diabetes Prevention Program. And, you know, when you mentioned your fitness center, boy, this really seems like a natural extension of what you're already doing with diabetes and could certainly apply to other patients with other chronic diseases. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. So we are accredited in diabetes education as well as the National Diabetes Prevention Program, which we've had assistance from NCPA on both in recent years. And so regarding the National Diabetes Prevention Program, that is generally a a weight loss-based program that's a value-based payment program along with increasing physical activity. And so this it pairs very nicely with that. And you can also imagine as payment models become more value-based in the future, whether it's us trying to get A1Cs to goal or blood pressure control to goal, we have additional facilities that we can use to help patients reach those goals. And since we have that, higher touch point as a pharmacy, being that we see patients multiple times a month, it's another way, a great way that we can touch base with them, make sure they understand the access they may have to those facilities. And those are different payment models that we can stack on top of our fitness club memberships.
Well, that's fantastic. What's been the reaction of the medical community in your market area?
Oh, I think they really appreciate that. I have noticed that we have been quite a bit busier in the pharmacy. It's hard to track some of the results from the pharmacy side and say that it's directly related to the health club, but we're getting great compliments, and we have many of the healthcare community also using the facility now as well. So I know that they're enjoying it, and that they think it's a, I don't know, I think they believe it's a good idea.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do. Well, what about your employees? Typically when you add a new service like that, you really, really need buy-in from everybody. Have your current employees embraced the new concept? And what are you doing to help that along?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I believe is critical on this was trying to take as much of the customer service load off the employees as possible. And so about two-thirds, excuse me, about probably three-quarters of all of our members sign up totally online, are able to download their app and immediately get access. And so it's very low touch, low friction to enroll a member. And then beyond that, getting our employee buy-in, we like to use the four disciplines of execution method. And so we do have incentives for our employees to have, some buy-in to want our membership levels to be as high as possible so that they can benefit from the company's success as well.
That's terrific. Have you begun marketing it to employer groups in your area?
Yes, we do have corporate member agreements that we have, and that so we've had a few private companies along with even the local county has inquired about it. And I think there are more people that are looking at what could you do from a not just the health club membership side, but from the also pharmacy side to say that we can directly contract with local employers for better prescription pricing, other pharmacy provided services, and then have fitness facilities included. And so it's been going great.
Yeah, it sounds like there are lots of synergies that you can take advantage of, and the numbers that you just shared, it looks like you're off to a terrific start. Just looking down the road, do you see the possibility of maybe hiring personal trainers, nutritionists, other things that might enhance the total experience for members?
Absolutely. So, one of my concerns is getting over having overhead. Overhead is your biggest expense, obviously, and we want to try to be as lean and as profitable as possible. That's also why, since we have our lifestyle coach training with the diabetes prevention program, a lot of that nutrition coaching can be pretty guided with pharmacy staff along the lines of the National Diabetes Prevention Program. And as far as personal training, what we've decided to do for now is probably outsource that to third parties. That way we're not
Gotcha.
having to have full-time hired staff
Yeah.
that may not be working all day long. on. And so it's and also I think we're getting more into this digital age where even if some of the coaching could be taken and given digitally to the consumer and just take that kind of that overhead and responsibility off our business, I think is it's probably the best balance that I've found so far.
Yeah. Well, it's a great article. You were featured in America's Pharmacist, and correct me if I'm wrong. I think it was mentioned in the article that you're open 24/7. How do you handle the after hours situation? Do members have a code that they can get into the center with, or how does that work?
Yes, I really like their software solution because they can sign up on our website, immediately get an email confirmation with an invitation for their login to the app. Their code is in their app. They can immediately start using the facility, so it's completely frictionless. And as far as 24/7, we do have a lot of safety precautions like a defibrillator, emergency phones, lots of cameras, well lit. And so we also are very conscious of that, and we have been a I'm pleasant I can pleasantly say that we have probably majority of our users are women, and they feel safe and comfortable there. And I will say that another one of the one thing that we've really focused on is since we don't offer a lot of personal training, we decided to differentiate ourselves with some other amenities. So besides the fitness equipment, we do have hydro massage. We have a body scanner that takes a surface area scan in your weight and gives you a lot of readings on your body measurements and analytics as you're getting results. And then also a self-serve, fully self-serve spray tan kiosk, which we believe is a healthier tanning option than traditional tanning as far as cancer and skin aging. And that has been extremely popular. So when we've kind of bundled some of these other amenities in with the 24/7 health club access, along with prescription drug discounts, it's been a great value. And it's been something that we could do for I think a better value than we could have done if we had a bunch of extra staff dedicated to running the operation.
Yeah, I tell you that all that sounds terrific, and I don't think I was reaching when I described your operation as a true healthcare destination. Really, really, really great stuff. So I'm gonna move on to Mayank Parikh, and I know Mayank, you're involved in a number of innovative products and services through your pharmacy. And I think one of the more intriguing ones that I've learned about is a QR code on the accessory label for controlled substances. And auxiliary labels have been around for a long time, even back when I began practicing pharmacy in the late 70s. But this is pretty unique. Can you describe what you have going on with that?
Yeah, absolutely, John. Thanks for having me today. So I've been part of this Tackling Youth Substance Abuse Coalition for many years now, maybe 7, 8 years. And we're always working on things to kind of reduce opioid overdoses on Staten Island, prevent our youth from getting addicted to opioids. We started off by doing the Narcan training back in 2016 and 17. There was a big opioid problem on the island, so we trained over like 200-300 people, which ended up resulting in like 3-4 lives being saved. So we really had
Wow.
our work there. And of course, then shortly after that, the pandemic hit, so kind of the focus was a little shifted from the opioid epidemic, and we were dealing with the pandemic. But now things have cleared up in terms of COVID for the better. So we saw some staggering numbers as far as the opioid crisis over the last year or so. Over 100,000 deaths in the country. So definitely was eye-opener. So started working on something that we wanted to provide for our community. Our coalition put together a website resource, which that would give you access to Narcan trainings, give you access to medicine drop boxes. We worked some years back with the district attorney's office and got drop boxes installed at not only our pharmacy, but over a dozen pharmacies on Staten Island. And I wanted to really figure out a unique way of how we can make sure that, you know, this resource is available to all of our patients, and not only our patients, really any patient in the country taking an opioid. How can we best leverage that? So I got to thinking, I said, you know, in New York State, it's law that you have to have a controlled substance sticker on any opioid. So then I, then working with kind of the borough president's office, I have a great friend over there, Dr. Ginny, we try to figure out, you know, where the best way to access the patient. You know, they're like, why don't we put maybe something up at the counter of the pharmacy? But I'm like, you know, it's really tough for the pharmacist to come out and explain what this program is every single time, especially in the city where we're just so busy. But and as much as we want to help the patients, there's other limitations as far as the pharmacist coming out and doing that. So then I said, you know what, why don't we put a QR code on the bottle, because every patient is, of course, taking this prescription that's on opioids. And then, you know, by law, each pharmacy has to put the QR code on there. I mean, the auxiliary on there. Right. So and I said, you know what, why don't we put the QR code on the auxiliary label? As you said, the auxiliary, and I said, you know, auxiliary labels have been unchanged for decades now. We're in the modern age. Patients want access right away, right now. So now, you know, we put the QR code on the auxiliary label. We had some great partners at the district attorney's office. They provided some funding to run a pilot at our own pharmacy to see what the response was on the scans, really. So it has some like really data-driven insights, and the results were overwhelming. So then we went ahead and went back to them, say, hey, listen, I want to do this at all pharmacies throughout Staten Island or whichever ones are willing to participate. So more recently now, we have passed out free stickers to the pharmacy sponsored by the DA's office, which now has a QR code on the auxiliary label. And now when you scan the auxiliary label, you can pretty much talk or text to someone 24/7. There's a link embedded right over there. You can check for medicine drop box locations. You can check for additional resources if you're suffering from opioids, about xylazine and overdose preventions, where to get trained for Narcan, right on the spot. So, you know, yeah, so we were really happy about that. And, you know, I got to thinking, I said, you know, there's, of course, a professional side and a business side to our business. I said, you know what, why don't, you know, we can essentially replicate this for multiple disease states, you know, so we are working on other things outside of the opioids. So, you know, we have a patent pending. So we're really excited to see how we can positively impact our communities.
Yeah, that's terrific. I mean, so you're looking to expand beyond the accessory label that's required for controlled substances, correct?
Right. Yep.
Yeah. And what, I mean, you know, like I mentioned earlier, accessory labels have been around for a long time. What are you doing to draw attention to the fact that this accessory label is different and it's got a QR code? How are you raising awareness about the availability of that QR code?
Yeah, so we've done it. So it's more prominent on the bottle. It is a little more illuminated, the label itself. So yeah, it draws to it. And it's kind of visible enough on the bottle. So that way the patients have some, you know, it sticks out to them. And also we're putting in an additional flyer into each bag, which kind of just goes over the program and talks about kind of what the QR code is and how they can access these additional resources 24/7.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, you've mentioned some great examples of collaboration, community engagement. You mentioned the DA's office, the you're working with a nonprofit tackling youth substance abuse. Any other examples of community engagement? What's been the reaction of the medical community? I'll ask you the same question I asked Ben.
Oh, you know, it's been great. They are really excited about it. You know, they have similar pressures as the pharmacies do, as, you know, dispensing a certain amount of prescriptions. You know, they have the same sort of equal responsibility. You know, I mentioned earlier that, you know, there's something called safe dispensing and safe mm-hmm. prescribing. You know, everyone's just focusing on safe prescribing, which is our doctors, but really there's a thing as such as safe dispensing.
Yeah, like it's both.
Yeah, so we have to take accountability too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's fantastic. I understand that you're also active in the diabetes space, much like Ben has been. Can you talk about your what you're doing with regard to those patients?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll also touch on some of the work we're doing with other community-based organizations. But I, with the diabetes space, we've been fortunate enough. We have a great chapter, CPSN chapter, on in New York City. So we started off by doing A1C testing, which we got a grant from the local health department. So we were able to start added onto our CLIA waiver. So we started providing A1C testing free of cost to all of our patients. And then shortly after that, it just kind of became a good snowball effect. We, in partnership with the NCPA, we were selected as one of the handful of pharmacies in the country to run the CDC approved diabetes prevention program. So now great. we were in approved with that. We've been running a diabetes prevention program, which has been great. And then shortly after that, we're like, hey, we have diabetes prevention. Now let's look into DSMES. So very recently, past couple of months, we got accredited as a diabetes education site. So ADCES. So now it's kind of like full circle. We're testing the patients for their A1C, which they love because, you know, otherwise they'd have to go, you know, to the doctor, maybe wait a little bit. But we're able to check their A1C right on site. Results within 15 minutes. If they're pre-diabetic, we'll encourage them to join our diabetes prevention program, which I love what Ben's doing out there with his health and fitness. So, you know, we have some certified lifestyle coaches, which will help them through our diabetes prevention program. If they're diabetic, we'll enroll them into our own DSMES program. And if they're otherwise healthy, it's great. We'll just tell them to follow up with us periodically so we can kind of stay on top of them. So, and that has really been able to, you know, that whole pool of services that we're offering has opened up so many doors for us. You know, as far as our involvement with other community-based organizations, you know, about a year ago or so, we were awarded a vaccine equity grant, which allowed us to provide education all over Staten Island about vaccines and why they should get vaccinated. That kind of evolved, and we were then awarded a monkeypox grant, which you know, the mpox vaccine, there was a big push for that. So we were at the time, well, still now, I guess we're the only pharmacy in the state of New York that's offering the mpox vaccine to patients. So that's been great. And then, you know,
you're working through the health department with that.
Yeah, we're working with the health department. Yep.
Gotcha. Okay.
So very good. It's been nice. And then, you know, we started doing some work with SDOH. And, you know, now they've also engaged us to run a diabetes prevention program for kind of all over the borough, because, you know, there's a lot of folks are offering the DSMES, but diabetes prevention is not as popular, you know, due to reimbursement issues and whatnot. So, you know, we said, hey, listen, heck, we'll do it. You know, it's a huge benefit to the patient. And, you know, it gives us more visibility, brings in some new patients. And it's been nice, you know, and it's just the education piece. Most patients don't even know about it, don't know what prediabetes is. So,
well, I think it's commendable that you've got so much involvement with diabetes. I mean, I don't have to tell you or Ben, it's the most expensive chronic disease in this country, and you're absolutely right. The diabetes prevention program is a heavier lift because of, you know, the reimbursement or lack thereof. But I commend you for tackling that space. I was sitting here thinking about all the great things that you and Ben have going on. You're both involved with diabetes. You're both involved with CPESN. You've both been featured in America's Pharmacist. A lot of synergies there. And I want to have you both comment on this. I think what you've done in terms of the differentiated services that you are offering in your pharmacies, you're really seeking to redefine the profession in terms of how it is perceived by those outside the profession. Think about now what lies ahead. You know, the opportunities really appear to be limitless. What are you thinking, you know, 2, 3, 5 years from now? What are some things that you would like to do that you're not currently involved in? And Mike, I'll pose that to you first, and then I'll turn things back to Ben.
Sure. There is, you know, I've never felt better about community independent pharmacy than I have now. You know, we had, of course, COVID was terrible, but, you know, pharmacists stepped up to the call of duty. And, you know, as far as business, for the business perspective, it gave our industry a great boost. So now we really have to, you know, I encourage all of our community pharmacists to really look as what we can do next. I mean, outside of the typical dispensing, we have to get more creative. We have to be more of a total healthcare destination, you know, looking into different collaborative practice agreements, looking into another big thing on our agenda right now is remote patient monitoring and remote therapy monitoring, where, you know, there's devices out there, whether it be a blood pressure machine or a blue cellular enabled cap, where we can keep a track of patients' medications and their adherence. And at the same time, you know, you have a Bluetooth enabled blood pressure device, which can keep track of their blood pressure. So, you know, not only you're seeing that, you know, their blood pressure is under control, but, you know, also can show value based medication treatment and adherence is resulting in that improved blood pressure reading. So doing more things in those regards outside of the traditional dispensing. Of course, the dispensing will always be our backbone. But, you know, what other areas can we hit parallel or, as Ben said, vertical? And really, in today's age with different DIR fees, and there's probably a whole list of negative things about the industry you can say, but there's so many still positive opportunities there. And, you know, anyone who's looking to be get into the business, you know, there's a lot of folks that may be retiring, reach out. So there's, you know, there's always an opportunity. You know, pharmacies have been around for hundreds of years. They're not going anywhere. We just have to adapt and readjust our business model. And, you know, next 5-10 years are going to be great.
Thanks, Mayak. Well said. Ben, what's the next iteration of your healthcare destination?
Yes, sir. It's on the back burner, but my hope is to lean into the membership model, and we're really heavily considering pulling in direct primary care as another diversification move, and to become truly a total healthcare destination. Whether that means, you know, our membership based model that includes direct pharmacy, direct, you know, the primary care, the health club, and just being an all in one destination. And so I know that some may know that CPSN has some relationships for companies that can help with that. So I know there's
absolutely
growing resources out there for that direct primary care. And I know that a lot of our national competitors are gobbling up their primary care marketplace. And I think it's front of mind for me and what that looks like. And so when we were preparing our health club, we were also working out the plumbing and whatnot that we need for clinic space. And so that is definitely hopeful on the horizon in the next little while.
Well, I wish you the best with that. I think it's great that you've had the foresight to look ahead, and certainly there is a gap in primary care in this country, and what you're doing can certainly go a long way toward closing that gap. Ben and Mike, I really appreciate you being on. I've thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. I'd love to have you back on as you expand the service offerings in your pharmacy. But thank you again for being on.
Thank you, John.
Thank you for having us, John. Appreciate it.
And before we close out, I want to remind our listeners that registration is now open for the NCPA annual meeting, which will be held this coming October in Orlando. That's October 14 through 17. And for more information, you can go to ncpa.org. Thanks again.